So, Coach Spry, coach and mentor, and working with young people. And I mean, you're talking those 2 years at St. Catharines, you're talking 31 years at Payne College. And I mean, you are right there with the young people. And I would think that 33 years with the young people seems to at least suggest you were really making a connection. What are some of the keys to an older person, I'm not saying old, but an older person, not one of their peers, really connecting with the young people so that they're there with you, they're listening?
One of the key things, of course, is you got to establish a relationship. And you got to understand that every young man is unique within themselves. They may have some similarities, but there's also going to be some differential differences. And so you got to find out what those differences are. Then you got to try to make sure that you understand through communicating with them and finding out where they are and where they're trying to go. Then you're going to try to lead them in that direction to expose them. I used to have a thing every Friday called Education Awareness at the college. And what I would do is invite guest speakers to come and speak to my team on Fridays. I've had from the judges, policemen, I've had doctors and lawyers, I've had dentistry, I've had morticians, I've had beauticians, I had all numerous of different careers and background where they could come in, and it was very informal, and they talk with them and share ideas. And then I would ask the players, tell me some people that you would like to come in. And every Friday we would have that. By bringing people and exposing them to bankers, the vice president of the bank, and exposing the policemen and firemen and all those things, letting them know that they're capable of doing anything they wanted to do, but there's certain steps that they got to make and take in order to achieve it. So I think it's like raising your own children. First of all, you got to be willing and have a desire, interest in what happens to them. Then you got to also give them structure and guidance. Most of my players would probably say that I was a disciplinarian. I never was concerned about your talent. I never was concerned about who your parents were, where you come from, or how good you were in high school. I was only concerned about you doing what was expected of you. And if you didn't do that, then, of course, there are consequences. So, therefore, I had basketball as a stimulus because they love basketball. And because they love basketball, then, of course, I utilized that to get them to go in the direction I wanted them to go.
Because if they weren't on top of their game in other areas, they could be sitting the bench.
Absolutely. Academics. You know, I always tell them academics got to come first and going to class. And then how you carry yourself even in the cafeteria. You know, you don't go over there and disrespect the cafeteria workers or break line and cause confusion, because that's going to cause you to get put off the team until the cafeteria, to the manager calls me and tell you that I can put you back on the team. So if you act up in the residence hall, then you got to stay in the residence hall until the residence hall director tell me they're satisfied and they want me to give you another chance. So a lot of different things that I would do, which was somewhat non-traditional in some sense, because I never was concerned about you were a key player. I was concerned about your behavior on the court, off the court. A lot of things that athletes do today, I don't think that is the times have changed, but more so the coaches have changed. People are reluctant to deal with things of great importance. I see too many high school coaches, the alums and the people in the stand, all they want to do is win. That's all. They don't go to the PTA meetings. They don't care about how they dress. They don't care about how they talk or disrespect the teacher. And even it could be the star player. The star player, he shouldn't play. But instead, there's that pressure to play him or her because they're the star player, because it's a big game. Mm-hmm. So I never was concerned with that.
And so one of the things that comes shining through that, at least in my mind, is that being an effective mentor does not mean letting the people you're mentoring take advantage of you.
Oh, absolutely not. Because that's not the way life really is. Life is about responsibility and accountability. And we all have that. You know, you're going to be held accountable and you're going to be responsible for certain things. And the key thing is, you may not be the best student, you may not be the best athlete, but you can always be a much better person. Yeah. Because that's what's going to keep you employed. I always have said this repeatedly, you know, attitude have shut so many people out of opportunities, you know, because they either didn't have a positive attitude or they couldn't handle criticism. And all criticism sometimes is negative, but you can make it turn it into a positive.
And a lot of that has to do with what's going on inside that person, mm-hmm. the kind of attitude that they have, the position, the approach that they take to life. And it sounds like that's one of the things that you were teaching them, how to approach life correctly.
Yeah, I try to make sure that they understand that there's challenges. Life is always going to present challenges, but how you deal with them is going to determine how you come out of mm-hmm. them. And the thing is that you got to understand is that you know, every day the sun is not going to shine.
That's true.
Every day things are not going to go the way you want. But the point that comes back to how you going to deal with it, yeah. not how everybody else is going to deal with it. Even in my own life, that's the way I deal with things. You know, well, okay, how you going to deal with it?
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned something, too, a little earlier. I'm thinking about the way we see, you talked about, for example, the cultures are different today.
Mm-hmm.
And we see these differences. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
mm-hmm.
Dave Bing. You mentioned some of the guys, mm-hmm. some of the greats from way back.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Bryant, when you watch the guys who played way back then, 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. compare them to the professional players who we have on the course today, Do there seem to be any differences in the way they approach life, the way they approach their profession?
It's a very distinct difference, and it's quite obvious. First of all, I think, and I've always maintained this, everything starts at home. Because if you got a good foundation, you'll carry that with you all through life. And sometimes you may stray, but you always come back. The thing that, during that area of the 60s and the 70s particular, it was an opportunity to get an education and an opportunity to participate in a collegiate sports. And they took advantage of that opportunity. Today, many athletes think that they have a right to play. And then their parents think they have a right to make sure that they play. And therefore, they take on for the wrong reason. For an example, I always used to admire guys that would go in and dunk on somebody like Connie Hawkins. I could name Julius Erving. I could name numerous of outstanding dunks. But you didn't see them showcase their talent. It was God-given. That's what they do. You know, when I see a guy make a touchdown, he act like that's the first time he ever made a touchdown. You know, I'm watching all the things, and that is always – it goes right back from the pros to college to high school. Mm. Everybody wants to emulate somebody else as rather than being themselves because it's popular. So nowadays, you know, kids are more spoiled. They're pampered. They're catered. You know, I watch them when they come to the sideline, even for football. They don't have to touch the ball or to drink the Gatorade. Somebody will just squirt it in the mouth for them. Yeah. You know, I watch everything saying, you know, that's not the real world. And most of them can't transition from professional into everyday living because they can't give up the limelight. They don't know how to deal with the real world. And many of them have money I dreamed about having. But at the end, many of them end up just like everyone else as if they never even played pro ball because they didn't have the management skills, didn't have the education. They connected with the wrong people. So the sport has changed, but a lot of it has to do with the players themselves. But I always say it's all about depends upon the coach. Whoever the coach is and how much you're willing to let kids do, that's what they're going to do.
You know, you mentioned that, and I'm thinking about someone for whom a lot of people seem to have had a lot of high hopes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has not panned out, especially when we learned that there were some activities going that were part of his life that should not have been, and that is Michael Vick. Now, I've refused from the very beginning to slam Michael Vick. I agree. The dogfighting thing was absolutely inappropriate, unacceptable, no doubt. But, of course, now that gentleman who was found guilty of having murdered his teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was wrong, too.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind and in my heart, it's much worse for a human being to take part in the murder of another human being than for a human being to take place in the fighting that takes place between dogs. But my point is, I couldn't help but, even now, it's been several years, but my heart kind of went out to the owner of the team who asked Mr. Vick, did you do this? And he lied to the man who was paying his salary. There's no telling where that relationship could have gone had he just chosen to be honest when that man asked him that question.
Well, you know, and most of the time in society and in life, when you're wrong, it's hard to accept the responsibility because you want to stay in the good favor, the good light, because it's a lot safer than to admit that you made mistakes. I always tell people that people are human and they're going to make mistakes. But the most important thing is they're already down. I don't want to push them any further. I want to see what can I do to pick them back up. And at the same time, you know, because of the fact that we've all sinned and fall short, and because the Lord always gives us a second chance, third exactly. chance, you know, I'm always saying, well, they're wrong. Make no mistake about it. It shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have done it. But what can I do to make a difference? And so when I look at Michael Vick, I look at Allen Iverson, I look at so many, Lamar Odom, as he's going through this dark period in his life, you know, I always want to say, well, you know, it's easy to talk about what they should have done, but they didn't do it.
Exactly.
So the important thing is, what can you do to encourage them?
Truly, ladies and gentlemen, the heart of a mentor, coach, mentor, motivator. Ron Spry and I'll be right back.